Hello everyone, I'm Vishal Gupta. I'm a PhD student at Georgia Tech, where I work with my advisor, Dr. Carson Schwan. And the work that I'm presenting today on UnCore and heterogeneous cores, this work is in collaboration with several folks at Intel, Paul Brett, Scott Hahn, David Kofati, Dheeraj Reddy, and Ganpati Srinivasa. So this work focuses on mobile devices. For these battery-operated devices, the battery life is critical for their users. But users also demand high performance from these devices for tasks like gaming, browsing. But previous work has proposed the use of heterogeneous cores for these platforms. So what I mean by heterogeneous cores, that you can use low-powered small cores like Intel Atom cores and high-performance cores like Core i5 or Core i7 cores together to meet the diverse requirement of these platforms, to provide both performance and energy efficiency. So the question may arise, why heterogeneity? And this can be understood using this figure here. So I'm showing, in this figure you see power and performance on X and Y axis, and it's showing the power profile for a small core and a big core. So this is how it looks for the small core. And this is how it looks for the big core. And the reason for that is that these cores are designed using different process technology, which is optimized for different goals. Small cores are designed for low power operation, and they have high switching power at high performance regions. While the big cores, they are designed for different process technology, which is optimized for high performance, and they have high leakage power in the lower performance regions. So none of these two cores meet our requirement. And that's why we can use heterogeneous cores to provide both performance and energy efficiency. There has been a lot of previous work on heterogeneous cores. One of the recent ones is Big Little Processing from ARM, where ARM is combining two different ARM cores to come up with this new architecture. Another work is FAN, which uses low power cores for data center applications. However, in this work, we go beyond cores and to focus on the UnCore component. So what is UnCore? This slide is showing you the block diagram of a typical multi-core processor. So we see four cores here, which make the core part. And in addition to the cores, there is also this UnCore subsystem, which contains things like last level cache, memory controller, interconnect, power distribution logic. And this UnCore is becoming a significant contributor in the total SoC power, which cannot be ignored. What happens that both the core and the UnCore, they contain idle states to save power whenever they are not active. But there is coordination between the core and UnCore idle states, which is shown by this figure here. So suppose we have two cores here, core 0, which can be active or idle, and core 1, which can also be active or idle. And the resultant state for the UnCore is shown by the colored boxes. So what we see here, that the UnCore becomes idle only when both core 0 and core 1 are idle. And it remains active as long as there is one active core. What is the implication of that? So that can be understood using a simple example. This figure is showing the execution profile for a typical big and a small core. X-axis is time, Y-axis is power. And when a computation runs on the big core, it takes time T big, and the power consumption is P big. When the same computation runs on the small core, it takes longer, but the corresponding power consumption is lower. So it can be more energy efficient to run on the small core. However, as we discussed, due to the coordination between core and UnCore, the UnCore has to be active too. Throughout, the core is active, which decreases the energy efficiency that can be gained by using low-power cores. To analyze the impact of UnCore, we consider two UnCore configurations in our analysis. The first one is a fixed UnCore, in which we use the same UnCore, whether running on the big core or the small core. The second configuration is a scalable UnCore, where we model a low-power UnCore when we switch from big to the small core. So as core power is scaling from small to big to small, UnCore power also scales from big to small. The experimental heterogeneous platform that we use for our analysis, it consists of an Intel quad-core Sandy Bridge client processor. and we use proprietary tools to create heterogeneity. So what these tools do, they remove certain high-performance features from the cores to mimic the performance of a low-power core. Like they reduce issue width, they reduce cache sizes and other features. And that's how we have a heterogeneous platform. And then there is a shared uncore component. So the only thing that's differing on this platform is the core part, big and small. Everything else, including uncore and rest of the system, is the same. So that we can differentiate just the core component. Since this heterogeneous platform only mimics the performance of big and small core, but not the power, so we rely on power models to get the power and energy values. So our models include both core and uncore power. Core power models use IPC, instructions per cycle, to model the core power. And the uncore power model uses LLC, last level cache accesses, to estimate uncore activity. And finally, for a scalable uncore, we assume that the uncore power scales to half. Since we are focusing on mobile devices, we also need to look at representative client workloads. So this is a list of the benchmarks or workloads that we use for our analysis. You can see it's a rich set of applications here: browsing, JavaScript, photo album, video playback, gaming, image editing, media encoding, and the corresponding performance metrics. So you can see that these applications are different from traditional throughput-oriented server workloads that have been used for the work on heterogeneous cores. Just to give you a flavor of some of these applications, so this is the browse workload. It loads a series of web pages, around 30 web pages, from a web server at every 3-second interval. And this 3-second interval is emulating users' think time. And the performance metric here is load time, how much time it takes to load a single web page. And it's not the total execution time of the benchmark, because that is not going to change because of the 3-second interval, 3-second idle interval. Another example is Open Arena. So it's a 3D first-person shooting game, and we play a benchmarking demo for 2 minutes. And the metric, performance metric here is frames per second. So with that, I would like to show some experimental results based upon our analysis. The first set of results show the performance impact of running big over small cores. So the graph here is showing the performance ratio, big over small, for all the applications. And you can see that for several applications, the ratio is much larger than one, which means the big core provides performance boost for these applications. While for many other applications, the ratio is close to one, which means that the small core provides comparable performance, and one may be able to save energy by using low power cores. The next set of results show the energy savings. So these are energy savings by using small cores over big cores. How much energy we can save by using small cores. And the graph here is showing percentage energy saving for all the applications. And these energy saving numbers are just the core only savings. How much energy we are saving on the core component. And you can see from the graph that significant core-only energy savings for all the applications here. Now we add a second set of bars to the graph in the red color, which are showing total SoC-wide savings, including core plus a fixed uncore. And we can see that the savings are strongly affected when we include the uncore contribution in addition to core. Then we add a third set of bars in the green color, and these numbers are showing total SoC-wide savings, but with a scalable uncore. And we can see that the savings become increase, and they become comparable to core-only savings. So these results are showing the importance of uncore and need for a scalable uncore design to maximize the gains from heterogeneous cores. And the last set of results here showing the energy distribution for core and uncore. So what percentage of the energy is consumed by the core and the uncore? And you can see that several applications have core as a dominant component, while for some other applications, uncore dominates, again stressing the importance of uncore on these platforms. So with that, I would like to summarize my work. This work analyzes the uses of heterogeneous cores on the energy efficiencies of mobile devices. We perform our evaluation using representative client workloads which represent the uses of modern end users' devices like tablets and cell phones. And we use an experimental heterogeneous platform. And finally, our results show that Encore awareness is a must for operating system resource management operations, energy-aware scheduling. Encore component needs to be taken into account. We also motivate the need for a scalable Encore design to maximize the gains from heterogeneous cores. So with that, it brings me to the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Hi, Sasha Fedorova, Simon Fraser. I'm curious about your Open Arena results. So it's a first-person shooter game, so very CPU intensive. So why didn't you get any performance benefits from running on the big core?
So it totally depends on the game. There will be some games which are, they're going to be accelerated using the graphics, GPU processor. But some games have significant CPU component as well. For this game, we don't see that. But for some other games, you might also see that they also want high-performance CPU. So you'll see a lot of difference in the performance.
This one was mostly running on the GPU. That's why?
All the games will use GPU, but right. Some games also have a significant CPU component.
And this one didn't?
This one does not have much.
Timo Hoeneck, FAU. Nice work. What I was asking myself is, where did you get that number that a smaller heterogeneous core will be only at as low as half the power of the large core?
So this is just an assumption.
There's no power model or anything?
There is no such thing as a scalable Encore that's there today.
Intel does not have this knowledge yet.
So this is an assumption that, let's say, if we could create a scalable Encore, which could scale to half, what would happen?
Okay. Would there be the requirement to change the hardware for getting such a scalable Encore, or is it just a thing that we have to change in software?
It will require hardware support. I mean, things like you could disable some parts of the caches, you could lower the voltage and frequency in the Encore, you could disable memory controllers, so all those kind of things, but it requires hardware support.
All right, okay, thank you.
Timmy Zhu from CMU, interesting talk. I had a quick question. Were your results including using DVFS or C-states or other sort of power-saving techniques?
So we are using C-states here. Whenever the core is not active, it goes into a low-power C-state, but the frequency is fixed. We are not changing the frequency here.
Okay, thank you.